You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12s. This is your host on this cold, wet, blue Friday, Nick Lee. I'm actually going at it solo today, and I got lots to cover. Thanks for tuning in as we get hyped and prepped for now a primetime divisional matchup between your Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals down in Arizona. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. There were some moving pieces Thursday afternoon in the NFL as far as scheduling is concerned due to COVID concerns with the Las Vegas Raiders, who have a game with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Las Vegas Raiders ended up sending their entire offensive line home after right tackle Trent Brown was put on the reserve COVID-19 list. And now, because of that, they will play the Tampa Bay Bucs instead of on Sunday Night Football in the primetime slot they originally had. They'll be slotted up to the afternoon 1:05 Pacific time slot on Fox. So apparently the NFL wanted to ensure that the Sunday Night Football game was played, so they moved the game that was in doubt of that slot because there is a chance that the Raiders-Bucs game will be postponed due to those COVID cases. So the NFL thought it necessary to slide in a game that is more secure at the moment, which is the NFL led to flexing Seattle's game against the Cardinals to Sunday Night Football, that slot on NBC, which is becoming very familiar if you want to watch your Seahawks this season. This will be their third Sunday Night Football game in the first six games. Half of Seattle's season thus far will have been played on Sunday Night Football when this weekend is through. And you know the Seahawks love playing on primetime. That's just their MO under Pete Carroll. They love with the lights, especially at home, but this is not at home. This causes for an interesting matchup on Sunday night in Arizona, in Glendale. This is Seattle's first road primetime game of the season and their first since they beat the 49ers last year. But this is going down in Arizona, a place where Seattle has had some horrific things happen despite being 7-3-1 in that building under Pete Carroll in the playoffs. And we're going to revisit some of the horrors of the primetime games here in this building they call State Farm Stadium. And even though Earl Thomas's injury two seasons ago on that field wasn't in primetime, it was significant enough. It led to his career ending and one finger being raised as he was carted off. And this will become more relevant as we go through a few of these, as really the entire Legion of Boom was decimated on the same field. Two in the same game, which I'll go to here. So first, the first primetime game in Arizona we're going to look at is from November 9th, 2017, Thursday Night Football. If I'm not mistaken, one of the first games they wore the action green uniforms. The Seahawks won, but at a terrible price. This was the game that saw the end of the Legion of the Boom as we know it. Richard Sherman had tore his Achilles in this game, ending his season and eventually his Seahawks career as Seattle cut him that offseason. Then he infamously signed with Seattle's arch rival just a few days later, the 49ers. And last year, the 49ers got to the Super Bowl, won the NFC, and Sherman showed basically a complete recovery of that injury, and he played just about as well as he did in his later years in Seattle, further sticking it to the Seahawks and their fans, which, of course, you know is Richard Sherman's MO, and you know that was going to happen no matter where he went. And that wasn't it. Cam Chancellor suffered a neck injury late in that game. And at the time, it didn't draw the same amount of headlines as Sherman's. It wasn't quite as visual as Sherman's. I remember watching that game, and the camera panned to Richard Sherman just in time for him to mouth the words, "I tore my Achilles. It's torn." And I could tell, like, yep, that's usually torn Achilles, especially in November. That's a season ender and maybe career alterer, which in a way it was for Richard Sherman. He saw him go to a new team after he was cut. But for Cam Chancellor, he kind of quietly left the game. He wasn't like carted off or anything. There wasn't some big pause in the game, as you sometimes see, unfortunately, with some of those neck injuries. But it ended up being more impactful to him as a player than Sherman's, as that ended his career. He announced his retirement before the next season, officially ending the Legion of Boom era. and left Earl Thomas the lone man remaining, and that didn't last long after that. And oh yeah, the Seahawks won that game. Some fans remember the twirling, just acrobatic circus play that Russell Wilson did to stay alive, and then chucks a ball to Doug Baldwin to get inside the Cardinals' 10-yard line. Just one of those stop and drop your jaw moments of that season anywhere in football. But they did win that game, but certainly at a terrible price. Now we're going to go another year previous. October 23rd, 2016, so almost 4 years to the day. 4 years from today, actually. This is, I like to call, the game that nobody wanted to win. The Seahawks should have won and lost this game about three different times. Down by three with less than 5 minutes left, Tanner McAvoy blocked a Cardinals punt that set up Seattle nicely at the 22-yard line of the Cardinals with a chance to go ahead. They're down by three, so all they needed was a touchdown to basically seal the win. But a holding penalty stalled the drive, and the Seahawks were forced to settle for a game-tying field goal, which Stephen Hauschka nailed, and it went 3-3 into overtime. And just looking at that score, you knew that some weird things had to happen, and in overtime, it would continue. The Cardinals drove right down and kicked the field goal, and the Seahawks basically did the same thing and answered back, and it made it 6-6 because that was when the rule change allowed for a field goal to be had in the first possession and the other team to respond if there was not a touchdown. So now with the two teams responding with field goals in overtime, we turned into next score wins mode with the Cardinals getting the ball. Carson Palmer connected with J.J. Nelson in Seahawks territory for 40 yards, putting the ball inside the Seahawks' 10-yard line. All they needed was 3 points to win, and they're inside Seattle's 10, so you can pretty much write this one off as a loss. And Seattle's defense did hold strong and forced the Cardinals for a field goal attempt, and Chandler Catanzaro missed an absolute chip shot field goal, 24 yards, giving the Seahawks a golden opportunity to win it. The Seahawks themselves drove all the way down and got inside the Cardinals' 10-yard line, and just like the Cardinals, lined up for a nice chip shot field goal to win the game. And Stephen Hauschka inexplicably missed a 28-yarder with 11 seconds left in overtime, basically sealing the game as a tie. So it ended in a 6-6 tie and one of the wackiest struggle fests of football you'll ever witness. Essentially, State Farm Stadium is where the main trio of the Legion of Boom ended their careers, because you also had the Earl Thomas injury, of course. And then there's this little thing called Super Bowl 49, which was also in that stadium. I won't go into details, but that's just one of those, like, oh, Super Bowl 49, that and of alone will send shivers down Seahawks fans and players' spines there. It was so funny, though, because, however, all these voodoo, weird, you know, House of Horrors, Halloween kind of things happen against the Cardinals in Arizona, especially in primetime. However, the Seahawks have never lost a primetime game in Arizona under Pete Carroll. They're 3-0-1. So their only primetime loss at that stadium was that one Super Bowl. But against the Cardinals, they have not lost a primetime game in that stadium. So that's pretty crazy to think about all the stuff that's happened. They actually played. The results have been very positive. Coming up in the second quarter, I will go over some keys to the game for the Seahawks to emerge victorious in Arizona on Sunday night. Those being some offensive and defensive keys to victory against these Cardinals, and that these Cardinals are as a formidable opponent as any in the NFC West. I'll be right back. You are listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
As an avid runner and weightlifter, it's never easy to stay on top of your game. Whether I'm trying to increase my max on bench press or cut my best mile time by 10 seconds, there are always obstacles and you have to find a way to power through them. What is your wall and how do you run through it? For me, I turn to Built Go, the healthy replacement for your energy drink. Coming from the makers of Built Bar, you know it's top quality and delicious. Easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages, it's the best workout gel on the market without the crash feeling you get from products such as 5-Hour Energy, because it's all natural with 1/3 of the caffeine of a monster drink. Built Go comes in 3 delicious flavors, including peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Loaded with the good stuff to help me power to my goals, it includes fast-absorbing collagen protein, beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine to help me get going and promote joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Blue Friday edition. This is your host, Nick Lee. The Seahawks finally square off against an NFC West foe this weekend, and it will be a huge test. Of course, the Cardinals are never to be taken lightly. I mean, I don't need to preach to Seahawks fans. The Cardinals are one of those weird teams that just seem to have your number no matter how good your team is or how bad they are or vice versa. Even back when the Cardinals were terrible, which they aren't anymore, worse Cardinals teams have beaten better Seahawks teams than what we're going to see on Sunday night. Take this Cardinals team lightly at your own risk. I'm not, and I'm sure the Seahawks players are not. This Arizona's 4-2. They've won two straight, both being road games. This is actually their first home game since September 27th, so almost a month. So they're going to be really happy to be home. And they're feeling themselves. They're a darn good team. I know they've some people kind of laugh at the teams they've beaten, but really, this team, especially this offense, is not to be trifled with. We're going to go through some keys to victory. And first off, we're going to talk about when the Seahawks have the ball on offense. Russell Wilson, of course, MVP frontrunner. Something needs to be addressed, however, when we talk about this side of the ball, is that there's no Chandler Jones this time. Chandler Jones is like Russell Wilson's Pennywise the Clown in the rain gutter. No one has sacked Russell Wilson more than Chandler Jones. I think it was 13 and a half sacks last time I looked, which is actually, yes, more than Aaron Donald. He did not play last week and frankly did not look like the same player even before he was out for the year. So unfortunately, Chandler Jones is out for the season. You never want that to happen. But of course, this is an advantage for the Seahawks. And it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust their pass rush. They still are a pretty good pass rushing team even without Chandler Jones. And so first and foremost on offense, the first key for the Seahawks is to pick and choose your deep shots. The Cardinals are actually third in air yards allowed on completions and fifth in all the NFL in net yards gained per pass attempt, which means they've allowed the dinks and dunks, but nothing pretty much downfield. They've been really able to bottle up the big pass against the big pass. And however, the Cardinals are one of nine teams who have allowed a pass play longer than 70 yards this year. I mean, sometimes it's one of those unavoidable things, a blown coverage, a miscommunication, and boom, there's one of those on your record. So there will be opportunities, I think. I'm not saying that the Cardinals are the best team in the NFL at bottling up big plays. There will be opportunities. I think what is most telling about this defense and why they've maybe struggled at times and why they're not one of the best in the league, they are not sound tacklers. They have the sixth most missed tackles in the NFL. They're next to last in yards after the catch allowed. So this suggests that, you know, Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf could catch a shallow to mid pass and wiggle loose for a long run. So, you know, don't be afraid to maybe nickel and dime and dink and dunk a little bit, because that could turn into a big shot later, especially with some poor tackling. So don't be afraid to take deep shots, and also don't be dissatisfied if you don't get those deep shots. And if they're letting you dink and dunk and that's being successful, keep going with that. Another one is they only have three interceptions this year, which on their defense, which is 23rd in the NFL. The Seahawks are number one in yards per play on offense. Russell Wilson is seriously playing on a level where no matter how good a defense is, he's going to get his. That's what MVPs do. And this by no means is a scary defense. This isn't the 85 Bears or the 2013 Seahawks. But they're number two in scoring. They've only allowed 18.7 points per game. So this is kind of an interesting defense to kind of digest, because yes, pick and choose your deep shots. There will be opportunities, especially with the talent the Seahawks have at wide receiver. And it's also because the Cardinals can get after the passer. They can stop the run sometimes. And they actually don't really have a glaring weakness. It's just that they haven't really popped off the page either. But so for sure, take what they give you. But certainly don't be afraid to go downfield. The second one I want to talk about is Buda Baker. I know this is a sore spot, former UW Husky. He is he's Arizona's answer to Jamal Adams. He's basically diet Jamal Adams. And he very well could be almost as good as him, given a couple more years maybe. I know some Seahawks fans are grumbling about not drafting him in 2017, when they probably should grumble, given the fact that the Seahawks picked Malik McDowell not just one slot ahead of where Baker was selected by the Cardinals. So that, oof, that hurts. And you could argue that Baker would have a different role in this defense and probably wouldn't be the same exact player, but he's still a heck of a ball player. And anyway, you worry about the now and the present and what not was or what could be, what could have been, but what now and what is, and that Buda Baker presents a threat to this offense. He's a danger all over the field. He's got 45 total tackles, two sacks, three tackles for losses, and three pressures. He's all over the place, much like Jamal Adams. The Seahawks need to be aware of where he is on the field. Is he blitzing? He's blitzed 20 times in five games. That's four blitzes per game, and he seems to be doing it more. And is he dropping back in coverage? He might not be the best cover safety in the NFL, but he can get his, and he can hold his own. The receiver he is covering has been targeted 18 times, and he's allowed less than about, I think, a 77% completion percentage. So there is some wiggle room there for Russell Wilson. His strength definitely is near the line of scrimmage, much like Jamal Adams. He could be a game wrecker if you lose sight of him, especially if the Cardinals are using him to account for losing Chandler Jones in the pass rush. His last two games, if you look at Buda Baker's stat line the last two games, that's an all-pro level. He's got both sacks in the last two games. He's been all over the field, making almost 20 combined tackles. Cardinals are seventh, actually, in sacks in the NFL. Hassan Riddick, also a guilty party there. They will definitely miss Chandler Jones in that category. They're fourth in all the NFL in pass rush win rates. However, the Seahawks are also fifth best in pass block win rate. So in a little bit of way, that's a top five matchup right there in the pass rush of the Cardinals against the Seahawks pass protection. So keep account of Buda Baker. Don't let him beat you. Don't let him wreck the game plan, I think, is a good key to the game as well. And the third and final one for the offense, learn from Ezekiel Elliott last Monday night. Hold on to the football. In a game like this on the road against a team wanting so desperately to beat you in a divisional matchup and establish themselves as a true threat in the NFC, which if the Cardinals do beat the Seahawks, they should be viewed as a legit threat in the NFC. The turnovers will be gasoline on the fire. That game got away from the Cowboys quickly against Arizona, thanks to Ezekiel Elliott turning to what my football would call fumbleina, when the football all of a sudden becomes a bar of soap. And it happens to the best running backs. Ezekiel Elliott's a really good running back, one of the better in the league. And this goes for Chris Carson, who, knock on wood, has not lost a fumble yet this year. This goes for Russell Wilson trying to do too much and scrambling and twirling away from rushers and trying to do too much. This goes for DK Metcalf prancing into the end zone. Hold on to the football. The Cardinals are actually at zero for turnover margin, so as much as they can take it away, they can also give it away. So we'll talk about that as well. But let's work over the defense here. And one word to describe the Cardinals' offense is, of course, explosive. Limit explosions. Limit the wildfire spread, because it could spread like wildfire. Practice proper forestry techniques like you would for a real wildfire safety. And thankfully, at least in Washington, where it looks like the wildfire season is behind us. And in that way, in defense, that's not getting beat deep and come and swarm tackling, not missing tackles. This offense is bound to get yards and points. That's just how they're built. Just make them work for it. Don't give them these, you know, four-play, 60-yard touchdown drive kind of drives. Give them, like, if they have to score a touchdown, make it 11, 12 plays. I know that's kind of painstaking for the defense, but at least make them earn it. And then the more chances you give them, the more chances they have at screwing up and turning it over. One name we should probably take note of is some dude named DeAndre Hopkins. You know, just the NFL leader in receptions and yards, and just an all-world receiver, and arguably one of the top two, if not the top receiver in the game of football right now. He's actually coming off of his worst game of his career, or not his career, but his short Cardinals career. He was targeted 8 times with just 2 catches. And you know that's not happening again. Law of averages. He's not going to miss 6 targets this time. He has 3 games this season with at least 130, not 100, 130 receiving yards. And also, the Seahawks just happen to have right now the worst pass defense in the league. So limit the explosions, limit the wildfire spread, and keep them contained. Another one is don't over-try with the pass rush. And what I mean by over-try is, look, Kyler Murray, he's a talent. He's the second best quarterback in this division. The Seahawks should treat him like most other teams treat Russell Wilson. I'm not saying he's as good as Russell Wilson, but similar style, similar improviser. And he's got that pizzazz, that spark. And I think he's a bit more speedy and even maybe a bit more elusive than Russell Wilson, at least right now. In Russell Wilson's career, he's become a bit more of a pocket passer, which is to his credit. He's worked on that a lot. But this doesn't necessarily mean the Seahawks should send the house. Let's look at some examples. The Jets blitzed Kyler Murray 10 times and just got absolutely torched. I know that's the Jets, though, but really the Seahawks defense shouldn't be pointing any fingers because they're just at the bottom, too. Kyler Murray had over 400 yards of offense against the Jets when they blitzed him 10 times. The 49ers in game one blitzed him a season high 12 times, and he ran for 91 yards and a touchdown. So really, that's not the answer. And the Seahawks are getting blitz happy with their lack of pass rush, or at least the lack of sacks. They have gotten better pressures than they did last year, but This is about finishing and getting sacks. And I think the Seahawks have tried to overcompensate by blitzing more. And Kyler Murray has a higher completion percentage versus the blitz than against normal pressure. So the Seahawks should hesitate to send the house and avoid getting antsy if they can't get their sacks still. He's pretty hard to sack. 9 sacks in 5 games, less than 2 per game. So he's pretty slippery. And if you – the problem with blitzing is if you get out of your lanes, if you start messing with the line of scrimmage and opening holes, it opens holes. If you get run upfield, if the blocker washes you out, there's a giant hole. And all of a sudden, because you've blitzed more defenders, there's less defenders in front of Kyler Murray for him to avoid. So that just spells disaster. So I think the Seahawks should avoid over trying and sending the house. And that's going to be really tempting, but you got to avoid that. And then lastly for a key is limit Kenyon Drake. 4th in the NFL in rushing yards and coming off of a monster game against the Cowboys, 164 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. He completely torched the Seahawks in that game late last year when the Cardinals won in Seattle with 184 total yards and 2 touchdowns. They're going to try to get him involved in the passing game too, as a Cliff Kingsbury offense is known to do. They can get anybody involved in the pass game. They will try to create some mismatches to get him open. I think limiting him will make it the Kyler Murray show, which is dangerous, of course, because Kyler Murray is really talented. But I think if you can just take away one of his weapons, be a Bill Belichick, where you don't take away everything. You're not going to stop everything, and you're going to give up some points and yards. But take away one thing and make that not a factor. And I think if the Seahawks can do that with the true running game with the running back and Kenyon Drake, and limit him in the pass game. And if they're going to beat you on the run, make sure it's Kyler Murray only. And because you can live with that every once in a while. Of course, Kyler Murray is going to break loose for a couple first downs maybe. But if they get Kenyon Drake rolling upfield with Kyler Murray and that read option, that's a nightmare. So if the Seahawks can limit and contain Kenyon Drake, I mean, I know I just made 2 keys about containing Kyler Murray and containing Kenyon Drake, but really that's the key to beating the Cardinals. This offense is very explosive. And it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a big challenge. It's going to be a shootout. I'm predicting this to be a shootout. There's going to be lots of points. The Cardinals have 5 40-plus yard passing plays, which is 2nd in the NFL, and 12 20-plus yard running plays, which is 1st in the NFL. So they are explosive. They're 3rd in rushing, 12th in passing, pretty balanced. So any way you can limit those options, any way you can take away something that, you know, Kenyon Drake, or heck, if you can take away, at least slow down DeAndre Hopkins, that's a big if. But just something to make this offense a little less multidimensional will be huge. Now, and it's going to be a shootout, and the Seahawks just need to always keep pace and make sure Russell Wilson and his guys are going to respond, because you don't want to – if you fall into a 13-0 hole like you did against the Vikings, the Cardinals are a much better offense than the Vikings, and they'll make that hurt. When we come back in the third quarter, we're actually going to play for you an interview my fellow Lockdown Seahawks co-host Corbin Smith had with former NFL tight end Ed Smith, who covers the Arizona Cardinals in this upcoming matchup on Sunday night. You're listening to the Lockdown Seahawks podcast, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Lockdown Seahawks podcast. This is your host, Corbin Smith. Proud to be joined by Ed Smith, former NFL tight end, played for the Falcons, Eagles, Lions. He's now the host of the Believe on Cardinals podcast. And Ed, when we talked last year, the circumstances were a lot different. The Cardinals hadn't won a game yet going into week 4. They were among the league's worst defenses, and now they're 4-2. They have the number 2 ranked scoring defense, and we get to watch these two teams now duke it out on Sunday Night Football in prime time.
Yeah, Corbin, first of all, thanks for having me on, man. It was great to reconnect here, and it doesn't seem like a year has gone by with all this madness and everything, but, glad we got football back on the field, and even better, we've got good football going on down here in Arizona right now. You know, we've gone through our times over these last few years. Last year was obviously a work in progress. We seem to be putting some things together. And the fact that they moved this game to a Sunday night game, you know, prime time, Seahawks versus the Cardinals, man, it shows that we're opening up some eyes down here at the very least.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised it's the game they picked with all the COVID stuff. It's just a weird world right now, moving games from nighttime to the afternoon because you don't know if you can play it that day. And the Raiders' entire offensive line apparently might have COVID. So who knows what's going to happen with that situation. But I guess the positive here, get to watch these two teams, two talented football teams, go up against each other on Sunday Night Football. Kyler Murray off to he's had a hot start, but he's thrown six interceptions as well. He's one of the top rushing quarterbacks in the NFL. What have you seen from him these first six games? How does he look different compared to what he did, say, this time last year when the Seahawks came in and won by 17 points in week four?
Yeah, I think last year he was still trying to catch up to the speed of the game a little bit. He was very familiar with Kingsbury's offense. Obviously, they've had a pass together. And, you know, but as being a rookie quarterback, there's no substitute for kind of getting your feet wet. And you're sometimes when you get in there early, man, it can be a little overwhelming. It looks like he has more control of the game plan and kind of almost getting that sense where he's able to anticipate things a little more now. And then it doesn't hurt when you get a DeAndre Hopkins in here, which we stole from Houston. Still not sure how we pulled that one off, but we'll take it. And, you know, you add that to the mix, and we're still trying to figure our running game out. We might have got a couple, you know, last week against the battered Cowboys, and we got to establish a couple of things, but we're still trying to get our running game to match up with the passing game and then become a little more vertical in terms of contrast to being as horizontally passing as we are a lot of times. But we're trying to figure it out, Corbin, and much more exciting times this year compared to last at this time of the season.
Yeah, I was talking to KJ Wright about this a little bit ago, and I was, you know, Kenyon Drake came in last season and rushed for over 160 yards when these teams played in Seattle, and the Cardinals came in and got the upset win. And I was asking him how much that changes trying to defend against this football team, particularly after you get DeAndre Hopkins. And he was talking about how the running game sets up that horizontal passing game with your jailbreak screens, your bubble screens, some of the quick hit passes. But they haven't had a lot of big vertical plays until this past week. The Dallas Cowboys defense at this point, I think Pee Wee Leaguers could probably score on them. They've been awful. But Christian Kirk busting loose on that long touchdown pass from Kyler Murray, and they've got all those weapons there. I guess my big thing, you were talking about the run game. To me, that's really been the big difference for the Cardinals, who have won six of their last nine games going back to last year. Even when they were losing games, when they brought Kenyon Drake in, that just brought a totally different element. And I was impressed with how Cliff Kingsbury, with his air raid offense, embraced the run game, and it really has paid dividends for them.
Yeah, and I'm looking for him to stick with it even a little more and kind of get a little, like I would call him, like kind of enforce our will on teams at times instead of the pity pat to start out the games. I'm waiting for them to come out in one of these games and just run it down somebody's throat, you know. And we're, in contrast, we're getting ready to face, you know, the Seahawks. Would you guys have that old smash mouth kind of approach? You know, Carroll loves to run the ball, a lot of play action. Then you have Russell Wilson, you know, doing his magic back there. That's what I'm hoping and envisioning for our Cardinals. If they can pattern their kind of attack after what you guys do up there in Seattle, that would lead us to all kind of success over the next bunch of years. I think what happens sometime, Corbin, you know, the head coaches / coordinators, a lot of time they want to be seen as that genius, and that's not necessarily running the football. They want to throw it all over the place and kind of put their stamp on the game, but it all comes back to the running game. When we get Kenyon Drake involved, Edmonds, and then you also have the weapon of Kyler Murray being, you know, just as elusive as anybody. I mean, when you watch him sometime, at least when I watch him, he's so fast, and he's kind of got that video game fastness. Now, you have the turbo button and nobody else has it, you know, and when he gets to scrambling and when they have those design runs for him, once he gets an open space, I feel sorry for guys trying to tackle him. But, you know, it's going to take a group effort to win this game. But, you know, I'm hoping they put the right game plan together.
My co-host Rob Rang said he's like tackling smoke, and I think that's the perfect way to summarize it when you watch the way that he's a jitterbug out there, and he's just so difficult to get hands on. And that this is a game that I absolutely think it falls on the defensive ends to be really sound in the run game, because you're going to get a lot of that outside zone. You're going to get a lot of the horizontal run game. And you're also going to have to worry about containing Kyler Murray. You don't want to get upfield too much with your pass rushes and create running lanes for him. So I think this is a huge game for defensive ends going against this offense. But going to the defensive side of the football, that's really been the difference maker for this Cardinals team. Because I remember when we talked last year, we were talking about, can the Cardinals find any way to get off the field against this Seahawks offense this year? Number two scoring defense in the NFL. That being said, they feasted on some lower level quarterbacks at this point. You're not going to have that luxury with Russell Wilson and not having Chandler Jones. That being said, got four sacks this last weekend against Dallas, an offensive line missing a lot of key pieces nonetheless, but they were able to keep getting pressure. How do you envision the Cardinals finding ways to get pressure on Russell Wilson this weekend?
I was just talking to somebody a little bit ago, Corbin, and yeah, you hit it right on the head. Russell Wilson is not Andy Dalton. So, you know, we decided last week, obviously, with him taking over for Dak, we threw the kitchen sink at him and got really creative with the schemes. The problem with facing a Russell Wilson, he's seen everything. And, you know, he'll dissect you if you give him the chance. So you can't be reckless with, you know, just coming at him from all different angles, because he's your offense is a big play waiting to happen at all times, especially with DK Metcalf out on the outside out there. You know, so for us, it's going to be about – trying to mix things up a little bit. You can't, like I said, show the blitz too early. You can't run the same blitzes all the time. But if you can be creative and try to not even confuse Russell, like I said, he's seen everything. It's pretty hard to do that. But just throw him off his game a little bit. Get him off his marks. Make him a little uncomfortable. And then the first things first, you've got to stop the run game. If you guys have your run game going, that creates play action. That creates all kind of confusion on the backside of the defense. And that's when those big plays happen. So first and foremost, stop the run. And same, very similar game plan against Kyler, you know, from your defensive aspect, you know, contain Russell, keep him in the pocket and don't let him squeak out of there. And what I like the most about Russell these days, when he escapes, he's not looking to run most of the time. He's looking to create something down the field, and that's when those huge plays come. Just when you think he's going to run, all of a sudden he kind of does that sidestep and boom, you know, 50 yards down the field, someone's catching one and running into the end zone.
Yeah, that's really where he's taken that step, because early in his career he would have tucked and run, and he still can do that. I believe he's still third in the NFL in rushing yards for quarterbacks, and he just sneakily does it. But nonetheless, he's scrambling, looking to pass, and his receivers do a great job of continuing and improvising their routes so that they can get open and he can find them. But that's going to be a little tougher this year against that Cardinals secondary. I have to say, watching film, that is the area that I have been most impressed with this Cardinals team the first 6 weeks, because they added a few key pieces in that secondary. And Buda Baker, we all know him real well here in the Pacific Northwest, as a player that fans were begging the Seahawks to draft, even though Earl Thomas was still on the roster at that time. He clearly was not in their long-term plans. It was evident at that point. And so a lot of people were like, why didn't we draft him? We picked Malik McDowell instead. And everybody knows how that ended up unfolding for the Seahawks. But he has really become one of the top couple safeties in the NFL. And I love the way the Cardinals are using him right now, especially with Chandler Jones being out, blitzing him. He's playing a lot like the Seahawks would use Jamal Adams once he gets back. I don't know if Adams plays this weekend or not, but I know that they have to know, Wilson has to know every single play where Buda Baker is at, because he'll line up all over the field. He's just been spectacular, and the rest of the secondary has followed suit.
And the crazy part, Corbin, is he's not – I mean, you know, you watch him fly around the way he does, and he's not a big dude. I mean, you know, Buda, you would think he was 6'4", you know, like an Atwater or something like that. But he has been so fun to watch. And he is the – I call him the Energizer Bunny of this defense. So goes Buda with his energy and flying around. Guys kind of, you know, gravitate toward that, and it's almost infectious. And our defense is at its best when everybody's – like their hair is on fire, and Buda plays like that every single play. I think it was a couple weeks or so ago, he was out with that thumb, missed a week, and you could tell his absence was just felt so from, you know, from front line all the way to the back. And with Chandler Jones going down, you know, obviously that's a huge hit to us. But if we can get guys to rally around Buda, there is no such thing as another Chandler Jones, but get guys just to try to fill in as best as they can, figure out a way to scheme more than, you know, with Buddha, well, I mean, with the Chandler, you just line him up sometime. And if he wasn't double or triple team, he made things happen. Now it's going to be more important for us to have good schemes to create matchups and get, you know, our guys free. But like I said, with Buddha running around on the back end of that defense and then flying up and filling holes and got his first interception this past weekend, it's, you know, it's really going to be something to watch moving forward, his progression and what he could do. I think he was a defensive player of the week this past week. So that was a great honor for him to get.
Yeah, the pride of Bellevue High School. Again, the Pacific Northwest, they know Buddha Baker extremely well from playing high school ball here, college ball here. Really looking forward to this matchup. Real quick, who is your X factor in this matchup? Who is the player that maybe isn't drawing headlines that you think is going to be critical for the Cardinals to win this football game?
You know, I honestly think it's all going to – and it might not be a – it's a huge surprise. I think our run game with Kenyon Drake – you know, like I said, we got off the mat a little bit, but it was against Dallas this past weekend. I think if we can create a running game and force you guys to have to respect that, and then we can get DeAndre over the top, it's almost like, you know, the formula works best if you add a little salt to it. And, you know, Kenyon Drake, like I said, we can get him going early and not get away from a running game like we sometimes do, and then just, you know, mix it in there a little bit. If we can get a good heavy dose of him, make you guys respect everything up front, and that'll create some over the top. You see, we started to use Kirk. He had a big pass last week. You always have DeAndre Hopkins, and they keep talking about Andy Isabella being earning more reps and attention. So, you know, like I said, it all starts for me with Kenyon Drake, and then we'll create from what we do with that running game.
And it's interesting. I have to mention this real quick. My X factor for this game was on the Cardinals practice squad 2 weeks ago and had a really nice debut for the Seahawks against the Vikings. Got an 87.5 rating on Pro Football Focus. Jonathan Bullard had a really good game in that first game. And this is the perfect scheme for him. The Seahawks wanted him bad in that 2016 draft, and they ended up trading up for Jaron Reed instead. So, ironically, I talked about defensive ends. I think this is a game those five techs are going to be really important to slow down Kenyon Drake and the read option and stuff. But anyway, Ed, I've greatly appreciated having you here on Locked On Seahawks. Where can everybody see your work?
They can catch on Twitter, Ed Smith Speaks. We've got the Easy Sports Talk handle as well on Twitter. And then I do the radio show out here every Saturday from 10 to 12 on 1060 KDUS, 1060 AM Corbin. And I think we want to have you on later this year too, so to talk and have you back on the show. But, yeah, appreciate you, man, much.
Thanks for joining, man. It was a blast. I'm looking forward to this matchup.
By the way, who's your pick? What you got going?
I got Seattle winning by 3 in a high-scoring affair because that's the only way this Seahawks team seems to be able to win games. And I think Arizona is a very dangerous team. I think Russell Wilson right now, the way he's playing, I got to go 38-35.
Okay. I had 27-24 Seattle. So, I mean, I know my hometown people, they hate when we pick against them, but I'm just trying to be honest, you know, Russell Wilson. And, you know, so we'll see how it plays out, though.
One thing's guaranteed. It's a primetime game in Glendale. There's going to be a lot of bizarre stuff happen. Expect the unexpected. It always does when these two teams play there, especially in primetime games. Ed Smith from Believe on Cardinals, glad to have him. Look forward to seeing how this game unfolds in Glendale when the Seahawks face the Cardinals.